Thank you, Brian. We're going to have a prayer exercise based on Luke. So I invite you to close your eyes and to, if you don't want to, you don't, but to just let the word flow through you and really think about the story and the results. Let us pray. It's a long walk from Jerusalem, but you are glad for the exertion. The physical worth of walking might ease, just slightly, the harder work that's going on inside you today. It is a work of grief. You lost a friend just a few days ago. Not only a friend, but your leader, your beloved teacher. And he didn't simply die. He was executed in the most torturous, shameful way. You've seen a lot in your lifetime. But the memories of Jesus' ordeal are forever branded into your memory. You close your eyes and see blood. You go to sleep, but dream about someone suspended, gasping for air. At least your friend is with you. Both of you follow the teacher with equal conviction and enthusiasm. So you bear your grief together. As you walk and walk through the long, rainy afternoon, you encourage better memories of all that the teacher said, of the people you know whom Jesus healed. You can't seem to stop talking, although several times one or both of you must stop talking because you must cry for a while. But the stranger engages in the conversation with great energy. He must be some kind of teacher because he launches into an explanation of how Jesus' fate is actually a good thing and a proper fulfillment of what was predicted long ago. This is fascinating. You and your friends are all ears. Before you know it, you've arrived at your home and it's getting dark. You invite the stranger to have supper with you and spend the night, rather than risk injury or other misfortune while on the road at night alone. Also, you want to hear more of what he has to say, and he graciously accepts your offer. The first thing you do upon entering the house is prepare the evening meal. The three of you sit down to eat. Then the stranger takes the bread and blesses it. And you feel a strange energy move through you and hover in the room. Where have you heard this sort of blessing before? The stranger hands each of you a piece of the bread. And you take it. And memories wash over you. Of a hillside with thousands of hungry people, and a few loaves and fishes being transformed in an instant in miraculous abundance. Suddenly, it is clear who this man is eating at your table, and you look into his face. What do you see? What is his expression? What do you feel? What do you know in the truth of your heart? Your friend has barely gotten the words out. Why, it's the Lord. Then the stranger vanishes. The room still feels warm. And there are waves of energy, like lightning sparks all over the room. You and your friend stare at one another. And finally you say, weren't our hearts on fire when he explained the scriptures? Didn't we know something even then? We couldn't identify it. You finish your meal. What a healing pleasure to eat the bread blessed by those hands. But then you look at each other and know what you must do. You head back to Jerusalem. You have to tell Jesus' other followers who are still there in the city. What is your conversation like on the way back? You are traveling at night, something you never do for safety's sake. What does it feel like to be on the road at such a strange hour? What thoughts keep running through your mind on this journey? How has your perspective changed now that you have met the resurrected? I find the road to Emmaus an interesting passage, filled with grief. But at the same time, full of hope. It speaks not of a past event, but as one that is contemporary with every age. Jesus is unrecognized, traveling with his church on its pilgrimage, and it's all its perplexity. Its heart is warmed as it hears the scriptures, but Jesus is discerned himself in the breaking of the bread. Jesus reminds us that we need to focus on the scripture to help us to navigate our daily lives, for it breathes the word of God, which needs to be interpreted in our current world. Let us start at the beginning of the story, in which the disciples do not recognize Jesus. They are so consumed in their grief that they walk for 7 miles without it dawning on them who it was they were listening to. Yet they learn so much, feeling their hearts ignited and warmed. We could say they had studied the scripture and heard Jesus preach so many times in his lifetime. That they should have known what would happen when Jesus was crucified and that his body was not found in the tomb. And yet they didn't. Could we truly say that if it was us, then we would have put all the dots together and understand what would happen next? Luke uses the stories about Jesus appearing with the disciples as a way of teaching and convincing. It made me think of how many car journeys I have been on, where I have been able to speak openly to my parents about my thoughts and my feelings, because I did not have to look directly at them. It made it easier. Perhaps the disciples did not continuously look at Jesus. They were so consumed with their grief. They were walking home with their minds full of sorrow. I remember only a couple of years ago, I was in the street. I looked up and I didn't recognize my dad, despite the fact I am now 41. And he was with my dog, my parents' dog, Tilly. And I recognized Tilly first. denied it could be my dad. As silly as it sounds, I genuinely didn't recognise it for those few seconds. I wondered if anyone else has had that. It is a poor excuse, but he was out of context for me and wearing a hat. I never see my dad wear a hat. How often do we not recognise someone if they are not in the place we are expecting? Perhaps wearing different clothes or speaking differently. They were not expecting Jesus to be walking next to them. When we are grieving, it's hard to see anything. So burdened we are in sorrow. Would we recognize that Jesus is there with us? Or would we too think that he has gone?
Hey.
I have certainly had many ups and downs. But I cannot compare it to the crucifixion and the praying his followers felt. But it does help me to understand that grief can cloud judgment and result in closing our eyes to the truth that is in front of us. Peter is my favourite person in the Bible. There are a number of times when he doubts Jesus or questions this or that. But through this and Jesus' unconditional belief in love for him, he comes out stronger as a result of it. In my life, I have always found it that in the end, God has always been present, even if at times I have not seen it. Have you ever had these moments like this? Eventually, the disciples arrive home, and at the moment of Jesus breaking the bread, their eyes are opened, and they finally believe, they finally recognize who was next to them. After walking 7 miles, they must have been exhausted, and yet after having that meal, they felt restored, and they turned around, retraced their steps, returning to their friends to tell them what they had experienced and their profound new learning. It is important to them that it is not something kept to themselves, but something to be shared. Have you ever had a moment like this, when you have experienced something so profound that you feel compelled to share it with someone else? So when we realize that God is there and we feel compelled to tell others about it, like the disciples, what do we do? This is when we think of the letter from 1 Peter, although likely not to have been written by him, the context of when it was written was when many Christians were being persecuted for their beliefs. The letter teaches us about the story of Jesus and his love. Through this, we should always praise God because he sent Jesus as our Savior, who suffered to save us from our sins. It urges the recipients to hold fast to their faith in the face of hostility. We are called to excel in good conduct, motivated by loyalty and obedience to God. It is important that we tell others the story of Jesus and his love. In the passage read out today, Peter says, "Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual affection, love one another deeply from the heart." This is a huge ask for us. I believe this links to what Jesus says from Mark 12, 30 to 31. Similar, when he calls us to Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Considering the world at this time, full of conflict, war, famine, rising prices to economy, dire needs, it is hard to open our hearts and minds to truly understand what is happening and the reasons made for these that make no logical sense. Yet we must focus on loving one another deeply from the heart. Can we do this? How do we do this? Sharing the love of God is not always in words, but also in actions. As a social worker, I try to show my love of Christ through empathy, understanding, and care for those whose lives are so different from my own. Some of you may be new to the path of Christianity. Others, you may have been a Christian for many years or decades, or even your whole lives. When did you recognize your heart like the disciples being set on fire? What gifts do you have to share the love of God with others? We are continuously learning, and most importantly, needing to share that understanding and love with others every day. How will you share the love of Christ with others this week? Amen.